every company in the world.
One of the biggest things has been sort of a viral marketing strategy.
That's about 2%.
The carbon agenda is
a business. It's going to be very significant indeed.
7 days with Business Cornwall.
Welcome to this week's 7 days. In a few moments, we'll be looking at this week's budget, but first, news headlines with Matthew Clark.
The future of Cornwall's air link to London has been assured for the next 4 years. The government announced back in November that the route was eligible for a public service obligation, and this week confirmed that it will provide financial guarantee for the full 4-year duration of the PSO. A tendering process is currently underway to secure an airline to operate the new service, which it is hoped will be in place by the autumn. And staying with Newquay Airport, it was announced in the Chancellor's budget statement that businesses locating to the Aero Hub Enterprise Zone will benefit from tax incentives for a further 3 years, extending business rate discounts through to March 2018. LEP Chairman Chris Pomfret called the measure very welcome news indeed. Cornwall Council is inviting businesses to comment on its draft strategy for the tourism industry. The new strategy, which has been developed following a widespread review of tourism over the past 2 years, sets out a number of priorities and areas of action. It's available to view now on the Visit Cornwall website. Consultation will run until April the 12th.
The 7 Days podcast is sponsored by CornishLivingTV.com. Your first stop for quality business-to-business and tourism video production.
7 Days with Business Cornwall.
So the 7 Days podcast is looking back on budget 2014 and finding out what, if anything, has been good for Cornish business in what the Chancellor said last Wednesday. So I've got Andrew Stallard from Worldwide Financial Planning and Kim Conchi from Cornwall Chamber of Commerce with me. Kim, starting with you, what did you notice in what George Osborne said?
Well, like most people, I was busy on Wednesday afternoon and came to the budget when I got home about 9 o'clock on Wednesday evening. And the first things I'm looking for is to see what's in it for SMEs and self-employed, which obviously make up most of Cornwall's business landscape. And there was nothing to thrill, I'm afraid to say. I thought last year that this government was getting the point that SMEs could be the engine of growth back to prosperity again, but they maybe felt they'd done enough for SMEs last year, particularly in the autumn statement, because there was nothing very exciting at all this year, I didn't think. Now, Cornish businesses, as we know from this awful winter we've had, are very resilient, so I don't suppose they're going to go into depression about this any more than they would have jumped to the rooftops if there'd been something for them. But there were a couple of things that the Chancellor did which will make a little bit of difference, but I don't think anybody's going to pop open the champagne. The tax allowance for investment on capital projects has been doubled to 500,000, which means that any business investing in anything from a van to a new building extension will get tax relief up to 500,000, where it was only 250,000 before. And for exporters, which we are very keen on encouraging Cornish businesses to export at the moment, and for Cornish businesses in the service sector to realise that their consultancy, their expertise, their know-how is an export. It's not just about widgets and manufactured products. The credit available from the government has been doubled, which means that, in theory, available to twice as many businesses. And the interest rate on those government loans for exporting has dropped by a third. So that's a really good message. They want UK's economy, and in this case, Cornwall's, to look overseas.
Okay. So, Andrew, talking about that tax allowance, is this a practical thing which businesses can actually use down here?
Yes, I'm sure it is, but I'm sure I'll talk to Kim more about that. I mean, what I want to talk about with the budget is the massive changes to pensions that have taken place. I mean, the ISA flexibility is to be welcomed, but the changes to pensions are the biggest change for 80, 100 years. People will no longer have to buy an annuity. Well, in truth, they never had to, but for most people, it was the sensible choice. Now, I'm involved in talking to small business about setting up auto-enrolment schemes, and one of the challenges has been to explain the complexities of buying an annuity. Well, now most people will not have to, and that greater freedom is to be welcomed. But I do have a couple of concerns. The taxation of pensions has not changed one iota in this budget. 25% can be taken as a tax-free lump sum, but the other three quarters will be taxed. And I'm fairly cynical about governments and tax. All governments of whichever colour try to collect as much tax as they can. And it's probably the case that George Osborne will collect a bonus of tax from people cashing in their pensions early and possibly paying tax on it twice. I think the other concern I have is this flexibility in pensions that's going to occur may be the beginning of another mis-selling crisis.
OK. Are there any things you'd have liked to have seen that weren't in that budget?
Well, I think it fundamentally doesn't address the three problems that are affecting pensions in this country. The three problems are the government is less than generous. The flat rate pension of £144 a week won't pay for many trips to Florida or trips out with the grandchildren. And if people do blow their pension, that's what they're going to be left with. And the signals were there that there are welfare cuts on the way. People can't rely on anything more than the £144. The second problem is with pensions, obviously, we're living longer. So retirement could last 20, 30 years. The third thing is we're not saving enough. Now, if the flexibility that's been introduced by George Osborne makes people more willing to invest in pensions, then I welcome that.
OK. Anything you'd have liked to have seen you didn't see?
Well, for a small business, I'd like to have seen some further reductions on business rate relief, which didn't happen at all this time. And I think there was something about taking on apprentices I'd like to have seen, a further cut in NI, for example, in the first 2 years of taking an apprentice to really demonstrate the government is serious about apprenticeships would have been good. And neither of those were even referred to at all.
OK, thank you very much, Kim Conchie and Andrew Stallard, for talking to us at 7 Days Podcast about Budget 2014. And we're sure we'll be getting some more views through from businesses in the coming months.
7 Days with Business Cornwall.
Now let's have a look at what's coming up over the next 7 days with Nick Herrier.
The Ideas Factory, a new initiative from the Cornwall Voluntary Sector Forum, comes to Heartlands in Poole on the morning of Thursday the 27th. The scheme is being launched to help budding entrepreneurs in the charity and social enterprise sectors develop innovative new ideas. Speakers at the event will include Surfers Against Sewage founder Chris Hines. And new business ideas will also be firmly on the agenda for the Cornwall Hub's monthly gathering, which takes place that night at Trinoak Mill near Truro. This month, the Hub has joined forces with business support programmes Outset Cornwall and Get Set for Growth to give Hubbers the opportunity to meet up, discuss and get advice about their business and career challenges from the experts.
And find out more about what's been going on in the business community in the 7 Days podcast in 7 Days' time.
7 Days with Business Cornwall.